Blog Talk Radio.
Minute, but I've got a lot to say, and I'm not playing around. This is Hard Hits Live with Derek Felix, and over the next hour, you're going to hear my agitation, my frustration. You're going to hear my anger. That's right, you're going to hear what makes me tick and what makes me sick. I'm talking about you, Gary Sanchez, and your lack of hustle. And I'm certainly talking about daily news and just what a joke they are anyway. They weren't always a joke. But a lot of things went downhill for that paper, that rag. It's not even a newspaper anymore. So we're gonna talk about a lot of different things tonight. So if you're listening for the first time, get ready, because Derek Felix is coming live, coming at you. I'm coming next. I'm taking no prisoners, baby. I'm ready. I'm ready to kick some fucking ass. So let's go. Let's bring it. Bring it to the extreme. Bring it like we never brought it before. I'm ready to bring it. I'm ready. Are you ready? Welcome to Hard Hits Live. It is your host, Derek Felix, here in Staten Island, New York City. Oh, what a pity. On a night that was not good at all. And I'm talking about the New York Yankees. I'm talking about just a horrific loss at the Tampa Bay Rays, the House of Horrors. They lose the game by a score of 7-6 in Tampa. And, you know, before the season started, I really didn't think much of Tampa. I figured they were going to be awful. I thought they would be, maybe challenging, like, the 100 losses, kind of what I predicted for the Marlins. And neither one of those teams look like they're going to lose 100. Well, maybe the Marlins will, but the Rays definitely are not. They're over 500, and they play hard for Kevin Cash. I have to give them a lot of credit. Yeah, I looked at how he manages, how he'll sometimes just go with his bullpen to start games and just use the bullpen throughout a game instead of using starters the conventional way. What is conventional these days? Anyone, when you're pulling starters, you know, with two outs to go in the ninth inning when there's nothing to play for and you can't allow them to get a complete game like the White Sox did to that Dylan guy yesterday or the other day. But we'll start this with the New York Yankees. You know, as much as I want to give credit to the Rays for another win, I think they're now like 3 games over .500. Yeah, this loss is on the Yankees. It's on the Yankees. And it's on a couple of players. It's also on the manager, even though I don't want to blame him entirely. But made some mistakes, Aaron Boone. And it'll be interesting to see how he manages in future games, you know, because his team's not playing all that well. They haven't played well for a while. Ever since they took 2 out of 3 from Boston, they're like a .500 team. So, and the Red Sox, all they do is win. And they're now a season high 6 games up on the New York Yankees, who better watch their backs. If they keep losing games, and Severino sort of not going to pitch well because he got absolutely knocked around and he should have been pulled after that 3-run home run that he gave up, which made it 4-1. But if he starts getting hit, that's a big problem for the New York Yankees. It's also a big problem still that they sometimes frustrate you by leaving runners on base. Yes, they made the valiant comeback. Yes, Severino's still 14-3 with the 2.63 ERA, but his last 3 outings have been very unsavvy-like, and it's very concerning. I mean, before those 3 starts, he had a 1.98 ERA, and now he's given up 6 home runs, I think, in those last 3 starts. Is he getting a little tired? Was it the extra days of rest? Pitcher hits a slump, and Severino is a young pitcher. Congratulations to him on hitting 500 Ks already. For his career, that's pretty damn impressive for a guy that hasn't been in the majors that long. But right now, things aren't going so well for him. Gave up the 7 when he got charged with 7 runs, and I think 6 were earned. Yeah. So the Yankees did make a valiant effort to come back. They did after the Bowers blast. But there are 2 things that stand out about this game, and they both have to do with one player, a player that's been a disappointment this year, a big disappointment. I don't care how many games he missed, because before he missed all those games, Gary Sanchez was hitting below .200, and he still is below the Mendoza line. And you know, I don't care if he's got the 14 home runs. He has not been selective at the plate. His defense remains atrocious. I mean, how many pass balls is this guy going to allow? I mean, really, he missed significant time, and he still has allowed the most pass balls in the majors with 10. And that pass ball in the bottom of the first inning, whatever you want to say, it was a cross-up, it was, between Seve and Sanchez, but a lack of hustle from a player that the Yankees are counting on, one of the guys to be part of that core, that was embarrassing. Embarrassing. I mean, him not going after the ball, lollygagging it, and then allowing the runner to come all the way around from second and score. That was embarrassing. And, you know, it also is embarrassing listening to the Yes broadcast, and they're trying to say, well, maybe Andujar could have gotten to it. That is Gary Sanchez's ball all the way. So I don't want to hear and try to pin it on the rookie. All he does is hit extra base hits, hit doubles, and is a hit machine. And has fielded pretty damn good also. You know, he had a couple in this place last week. But I don't want to hear it. Gary Sanchez should know better by now. And they took away Joe Girardi because he was a little too tough, a little too rough around the edges for Gary Sanchez. Well, you know what? At least Gary Sanchez was made accountable by Girardi. And Gary Sanchez performed a hell of a lot better under Girardi than he's performed this year under Aaron Boone. And I'm not blaming the manager for this. No. I'm blasting the player. The player deserves the criticism right here. So he deserves the criticism. He's going to take it. And there was plenty of outbursts on Twitter, including from me, including from a lot of fans who just are tired of seeing the lack of hustle, the lack of execution. He left the Village on base with the six runners on base. So did Hicks, who had a chance with the bases loaded and one out after they intentionally walked in Carl Stanton because he's 9 for his last 9 against the, he's 9 for 9 at Tampa Bay in his last 2 games. And he had the big 2-run base hit that cut it to a run at 7-6 in that 7th inning. And then of course, they weren't going to pitch to him, so they loaded the bases after Didi sacrificed. So that probably was a mistake by Aaron Boone. But Hicks hit a sharp line drive, grounder to third, and a real good play by Duffy. You know, going home, he wasn't going to get the double play, took the out at home, prevented the Yankees from tying the game, and it came down to Gary Sanchez. And we all know what happened. We all saw it. And if you didn't see it, oh, man, I mean, I wouldn't want you to see it because it's just so aggravating. It is so aggravating and so frustrating. I mean, his selection at the plate tonight was pretty bad. I know he did have a two-out RBI when the Yankees finally started to make it interesting in the sixth inning when they got a couple of runs across. Stanton started that with a hard hit single and scored on a wild pitch, actually. So this was a weird game. But, I mean, Sanchez hits a ball, you know, in the hole pretty hard. And they decide to go try to take the out at second. And, you know, just looking at it, you knew he was going to be safe. And he sure as hell was. He was safe. And at that point, I'm thinking, well, all right. He's safe, and they're going to tie the game. But, and I give full credit. I'll give full credit to where it's due because there was no hesitation, zero hesitation at all to continue the play because Gary Sanchez did not hustle out of the box. And yeah, he basically just gave up. And it was that was a terrific. It was a smart play to try to still get the out at first because Gary Sanchez was not running hard. And as soon as he made the throw, it was a great throw. It was a great throw. And I'm talking about Willie Adams. All right, so it was grounded sharply to Robinson, who tried to throw to Adams, and it was safe. And then Adams just threw an absolute laser to first baseman Jake Bowers, who had the big home run. He's a good player, Jake Bowers. And to see Sanchez out by a few steps, by 3 steps, and with it not even close, that was a disgrace. And it's just undeniable. You can't do that. I mean, and I knew when he was thrown out like that, I knew why. I didn't have to see a replay. I didn't have to see them break it down on Yes Network. I knew. I knew it was because he just didn't bust it out of the box. And that's what you're supposed to do. So many players don't do it. They lollygag it. They don't do it. They pop up whatever. They will not run hard. But there are 2 outs, buddy. Your team is down a run. Gotta run hard there. I mean, it's just,
And I'll tell you right now, after what he did pulled in the first inning, I would have sat his ass down. I would have sat him right on the bench, and that would have been it. Get out. I would have put Roman in right there after that crap. But because these players must be coddled, they must be given pats on the back and second chances and third chances, Gary Sanchez stayed in the game because they can't have tough love. There can't be any Joe Girardis or Billy Martins. Makes me wonder how Buck Showalter is still a manager. It's just unbelievable to me. It's unthinkable, unfathomable that this could happen. So it is what it is. And I got nothing else to say, really. I'm just so aggravated over it. You know, it's just like, what happened to tough love? What the hell happened to baseball? When you listen to idiot like Mickey Callaway talking about his team as clueless about his superstar Cespedes. Well, I didn't know that he said that. Oh, really? You didn't? You didn't know that he had bad heels? Like, nobody knows anything. And everybody's, it's part of the process. You know what? Fuck the process. Enough. And I'll tell you something else. A manager like Aaron Boone, I know he's a first-year manager, and I know he's a little bit of a puppet, shouldn't have to face those questions after the game. Because players should know better. Gary Sanchez should know better at this point. It's a disgrace. It is an absolute disgrace. And that's the kind of day Monday was. It was a disgrace. From the Daily News debacle, which was kind of predictable. You know, I think a lot of most people saw it coming when they started letting go of some of their big contributors over the past year and a half. And what they did, what they pulled yesterday was just the tip of the iceberg. They may as well just fold up tent. I mean, what kind of newspaper is that anyway? I mean, really. They haven't been a newspaper the last couple of years. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's disrespectful to the some of those guys who were professional, some of the people that were let go. But I'm talking about some of their slants. Some of that wasn't readable. So I think that's what I'm trying to say. But there were a lot of people who worked really hard that lost their jobs. So Frank Isola is gone. He'll wind up with ESPN. He's already on there sometimes. John Harper, a great baseball guy, is gone. And Peter Boddy is gone, another very good writer, and plenty of others. And this is just atrocious. And they got blasted pretty bad on social media. On Michael K. So Michael K., remember, he worked for the Daily News when it was actually a newspaper that was worth reading back in the 90s. Yeah. And he trashed the people that run it, and good for him. You know, where is the integrity? Where is the integrity? But there isn't a lot of integrity these days. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy. So, it's just disappointing. But no, this baseball game, you know, it's not so much that the Yankees are, you know, not going to catch the Red Sox unless they win 8 out of 10 remaining games with the, or whatever they have left. How many they got left? They got 9 games left, I think, with the Red Sox. But, but it's just, you know, they fought hard to get back in the game. they had the bases loaded with one out. Hicks, he hit one into a little bit of bad luck, and Duffy took the outer hole. It was the right thing to do because he was going to be able to turn two there. Now, Sanchez, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different ball of wax. And I understand he doesn't run the best. He's not a guy that really runs great. But can you at least get out of the box instead of just lollygagging it? And then all of a sudden, when he sees what's going on, when they try to take out the second, then he tries to turn it on, and it's too late. And the game's over. And that's just a disgrace. When it comes down to it, these kind of games, you know, I know it doesn't mean a whole lot right now, but because they're still 63-35 and they're still in very comfortable position with that first wild card. But it's embarrassing. It is absolutely appalling that something like that could happen. It really is. And this is supposed to be an upper echelon team, and for the most part, they've played like that, but not lately. Not since that series against the Red Sox that the Yankees played. They've played the ochre for a while, and when you see a guy like Sanchez, just that was just fundamentally awful. He's got a terrible average. He has not been as selective at the plate. And he's got a very good order. He needs to wake his ass up. And I don't want to see him play tomorrow night. He better be benched. He better be on the punt. I don't want to see him come off the pinch hit. I don't want to see him, period. And I know the Yes camera is going to focus on him tomorrow because that's all they ever do. That's all they ever do. Now they have to magnify everything. Screw that. Screw that, because he should be right in the pine. There is no excuse. I don't care what he said to his translator. You know what? Learn how to speak English, man. Stop using a translator. I know he could probably speak English. You don't have to be like every friggin' boxer that makes all their money in Vegas that comes from other countries, and they don't speak a lick of English, and they just use their translator. I mean, come on already. You could speak English. I mean, other guys are trying to. Acevedo, who just got recalled for just a cup, and then got sent back down. He spoke his first ever interview without a translator for 7 minutes. Cervelli couldn't speak much English when he was studying on the Yankees, but he still tried. And look how good he got at speaking English. He's from Venezuela. I'm just tired of the excuses. I am tired of the excuses. This guy's supposed to be an all-star caliber catcher that should be hitting at least 260, 270. And with the 30, 35 home runs, whatever he wants off with, and 100 RBIs. He's not going to get there. Not the way he's hit this year. But you know, he could still turn his year around. But last night was just embarrassing. It was embarrassing for him, for the Yankees. And it was a bad loss. It was a very bad loss. And Severino, you know, he doesn't make any excuses. He faces the music after every game, and he has not been good. He did have the 8 strikeouts, but he allowed 2 home runs, and they were both launched. And I don't know why Boone sent him out back out for that next inning, for that sixth inning. It was apparent that he didn't have it, and I don't know if it was his idea to call that slider that didn't slide, or it was Sanchez, but he had just thrown a slider that wasn't even a great pitch, but rolled over. Why don't you throw the same pitch twice when he's got a 90? He's got a high 90s fastball, 97, 90. That's a much tougher pitch to hit. I didn't understand that either. That didn't make a lot of sense, and neither did Aaron Boone keeping Severino in the game and waiting for Severino to give up 2 more hard hit balls and get into further trouble, allowing the Rays to tack on 3 more runs. Those were his runs. Those were his runs. Yeah. And I don't like critiquing. I'm not critiquing Severino. You know, he just has his, he's been off the last three games. He has. But I'm also critiquing the manager for waiting. Because, you know, look, sometimes your guy is not going to have it. I understand they want to squeeze. They wanted to try to squeeze another inning out of him because he's got great control. And he threw 71 of the 96 pitchable strikes. So, I mean, he's got that ratio and he's got the control. He doesn't walk many guys and he didn't walk at any tonight. But he was hittable and he wasn't hitting the spots. And there's a reason why he gave up 11 hits. I mean, shouldn't it have dawned on Aaron Boone that maybe his ace needed to get out of the ball game after the fifth inning? I mean, he did it once before. Look, sometimes he's hit a snag right now. So, I mean, the ERA went from 1.98 to 2.63, and it's gone up. And hopefully he can fix it and get back to being the ace that he's been, the great ace he's been this year for the New York Yankees, because they really don't have a hell of a lot after him, well, after him and Sabathia. Then it becomes a question mark, a huge question mark for the New York Yankees. So, just very disappointing. Very disappointing. That's the word I keep using. And aggravating, agitating, whatever other word in dictionary you want to use, describe it. That's what it was, and that's what it is. And so, it's a bad loss. It's a bad loss. They will be playing on Tuesday. They'll be playing. And see if Sabathia can provide a spark. And, the bullpen pitched well, of course. There are some other guys that are slumping. Hicks has been in a big slump. He's hitting about 130 in his last 16 games now, a little less than that. He's slumping. Sanchez, I know he just returned from the deal, but you got to be hard on him. If you're in there, and even Aaron Boone said it, he's in there, so he should be able to run after the ball. We're talking about the pass ball. I mean, Andujar has been unbelievable with two more hits tonight at third. And I think there's some people that have talked about trading him. Yeah, trading for what? I mean, really. The guy looks like he's going to be a star. And I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar, but Andujar, he hits so well already. All the doubles and the 12 home runs. And he has a shot to get to 20 home runs. Have 20 home runs and maybe about 80 runs knocked in. And if he can produce the way he needs to. He's got 41 RBIs right now. And, well, how many doubles does he have? Like 31? So, I mean, you know, like, the Yankees do miss Gleyber Torres. That's very true. Yeah, that's something I talked about on the last show. But Neil Walker is not going to make anybody forget Gleyber. Neither is Brandon Drury, even though I think Brandon Drury should play more than he does. You know, I don't understand. What was the point of trading for him? What was the point? Does anybody understand that? What's the fucking point? Trading for a guy who was a starter, who was an established guy that could hit, you know, 14, 15 home runs, knock in about 70 runs, 65, 70 runs. I mean, what's the point? So, I mean, there's a lot of, just a lot of things I don't understand. Well, you know, maybe it has to do with how the game is managed now and just how things are when it comes down to it. But I'm going to take just a quick little break here. All right, we'll be right back on the Hard Hit Show. All right, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Hard Hits Live. It is Derek Felix on the Hard Hits podcast, live for another about 23, 24 minutes. And I'm still agitated, as well as a little bit of Pantera. Still very agitated about the Yankees and about Gary Sanchez. But it's time to wrap that up. I did enough on the Yankees, and they are now 6 games back. And we'll do a little bit on some more baseball stuff, and then a little more on the dealings debacle. So that's what we'll be talking about now. Number is 424-675-8226. This is Hard Hits with Derek Felix here in the New York area. And I hope everybody out there is having a good night at least. So there still is baseball going on. Actually, there were a couple interesting games that I watched highlights of. One being that Phillies Dodgers game, which was a pretty interesting game. It was a pretty interesting game. Dodgers hanging on for the same score, final score 7-6, same score the Yankees lost by. Dodgers now 56-44. The Phillies fall to 55-44. Very interesting game there. Gore Stripling has been the Dodgers' best pitcher, former Princeton alum, and broke it to the majors and floored it with a no-no in his first game and had to be pulled. Something similar happened, actually, for our Cardinals pitcher that made a great comeback tonight in Cincinnati, and we'll also talk about that as well real quick. Game was another interesting game. You know, two teams that could obviously hit and rake, and they sure did, and entertained. But Manny Machado, so far he's been pretty damn good for the Dodgers, pretty impressive. He's able to leg out a triple, his first triple as a Dodger, on a ball that was hit down the right field line that Nick Williams just couldn't get to. I thought he could have caught it. Nick Williams is a young outfielder that he got from Texas in that Cole Hamels deal, which started to look more promising for the Phillies with Hamels getting knocked around and about to be traded. And who's going to want him? He got pummeled tonight. Absolutely pummeled, did Cole Hamels. Boy, oh boy. By the red-hot Oakland Athletics, who are only 2.5 out of that second wild card. They're coming. They are coming, and they're closing in a hurry. Somalia is going to definitely help that bullpen. I mean, they already have a good pen, but it's going to be even tougher. But on the Philly side, they hit 4 home runs. Hoskins with a big jack, a 3-run jack. Off Stripling that tied the game in 4. Herrera going back to back with his 18th. Herrera's probably the most underappreciated outfielder in the game. Odubel Herrera has 18 home runs. He's got some speed also. He could also steal some bases for you. He's got 56 RBIs. This guy's one of the best kept secrets in baseball. And I like him a lot, you know, as a player. I don't think he's really a center fielder. He's more of a right fielder. I think we saw that later in the game when Machado was able to tag up on a shallow fly ball and score. He was able to score on a Muncy routine fly. Herrera doesn't have a great arm, and that wound up being a big difference. And Matt Kemp actually with the big RBI, clutch RBI as well, in that ninth inning, that wound up actually being the difference in the game. So, there were a lot of home runs hit in this game. As a matter of fact, it was a total of 8. They played a little home run derby in Philadelphia. No surprise there. The ball can really fly out of there. Muncy with number 23. Grandal. Yasmani Grandal, the catcher, who nobody talks about. 14th. Chris Taylor. Looks like he's starting to pick it up. Not doing what he did last year, but he's at 12 home runs, 258, so he's starting to pick it up a little bit. Jacques Peterson, who can hit against righties, cannot hit lefties, hit his 14th home run. And, yeah, I really thought he could be better than he turned out, but he's now a serviceable, you know, player. So, but the difference really was that Machado drive that wasn't reeled in by Williams. He made the effort, but he just didn't get there. Machado able to leg out the triple. and that just that short fly by Monty that turned into a sacrifice fly with Machado able to score, because Herrera doesn't have the strong arm, and then Kemp with the big base knock and scored another run. And Jansen, he didn't get the clean save, and he hasn't been as automatic this year. We know he got off to a horrible start, but he's rounded into form. Well, that was his, he still has 29 saves, has a 2.42 ERA. He gave up an absolute bomb, a bomb hit by Mikel Franco, who hit two in this game. You know, Franco's got a lot of power. He's only got 15 on the year. And, you know, Franco, if Franco ever puts it together, I mean, he could be a 30-plus home run guy, maybe 30 at 35. He's got that kind of power, 35 to 40, possibly. But he hit two home runs. But he hit that one home run to cut it to one. And then Jansen able to get a strikeout to end the game. And the Dodgers hang on for the win, and they remain in first place in the NL West. I think they're up by about a game and a half or two. They might be up by two games right now. Also catching my eye, I mentioned a little before with a hint of Stripling's first major league debut at the Giants when he took that no-hitter. He had the no-hitter through seven but had to leave the game because of the pitch count. I don't like the pitch count, but I understand it to a point. But, I mean, you had a really great story on the mound for the Cardinals. So let's talk about that for a second. Ponce de Leon is a guy that got hit in the side of his head by a line drive in AAA about 20 months ago. That was the Cardinals starter tonight. It was his major league debut. And, of course, I was getting the update on my app. I saying that he'd taken the no-hitter, Daniel Ponce de Leon, into the seventh inning. 26-year-old debut. And what a debut it was. I mean, he left the game leading 1-0, not allowing hit. He did not allow a hit in the seven innings to the Reds at Great American Ballpark. Three walks, three strikeouts. His dad was watching in the stands. His dad almost caught a foul ball, too. That was pretty cool. But he was up to 116 pitches, so I kind of understood why they had to take him out, with being his first major league start. 116 pitches is a lot of pitches for anybody. So they did go to the bullpen. Would have been a great story if he could have won or, you know, seven no-hit innings. But Bud Norris just did not get the job done in the ninth inning with Suarez taking him way deep to tie the game with his 20th home run. We know Suarez is a guy that certainly can do things. So and the Reds eventually walk off on remember this guy, Dilson Herrera. Yeah, remember him? Yeah, was traded from the Mets. Well, Dilson Herrera with the pinch hit walk-off hit for Dilson Herrera. And the Reds wind up winning the game 2-1. So they kind of spoiled his debut there. But still, I mean, listening to him interview, listening to his father talk about him, you know, I mean, it's pretty good. Pretty great story right there in itself. Cardinals dropped to 50-50. And, you know, looking more and more like they're not going to be in the mix for a playoff spot. So, yeah, they've kind of had a disappointing year altogether. I mentioned that the A's continued their red-hot play. They're up to 58-43. And they just continue to win ball games. I liked their lineup. And, I mean, it's just a good lineup. And they certainly produce a lot of runs. Yeah, they do produce a lot of runs. And tonight, they absolutely killed Hamels. And Hamels has pitched really poorly. And, you know, what would his trade value be at this point? Piscotty, Chapman both hit home runs. Chris Davis crushed one. LaCroix also hit home runs. LaCroix doesn't really hit anymore. They lit up Hamels, led up Hamels for seven earned in five innings, and his ERA is up to 4.72. He had pitched a lot better until the past, it's been like the past month where he's really, really faded. And you know, they're trying, and Texas is trying, you know, they want to trade him. But gee whiz, I mean, here we are, it's July 23rd, July 24th, and, you know, Hamels got one more start before the deadline. And I don't know what they're going to be able to get for him. So, obviously not going to be able to get the kind of return they would like to get. Let's see. I also want to point out that, once again, Jacob DeGrom, the best pitcher in baseball this year, another great quality, great start, goes eight innings, strike out 12 or 13, and it didn't even matter. And once again, he's not able to win. And so, I mean, the Mets just don't give him any run support. It's amazing. I mean, and they don't give him defense and dropping the ball. I mean, the other night we saw it with Dan Decker. I don't even know what Decker was doing in the game, and he just misplayed about three different fly balls. It was just brutal. And tonight it was Posey Bautista's actually been solid as a Met. I mean, in terms of the on base and the five home runs, and he's actually walked a lot. He doesn't hit for much of an average, but you know, there's actually teams that have interest in him because he's done okay. He's had a decent showing since getting released by the Braves, but he had a fly ball go off his glove. I mean, oh, it was right in the off the webbing. I mean, oh God. And he had Rosario just let a ground ball go right through him. And DeGrom, eight innings, 10 strikeouts, three runs, two earned, two walks, wet 7-1 ERA, and he falls to 5-5. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, God, the Mets are just so bad. I mean, there's, you know, from the ownership to how they're managed to that just awful trade that they made where they didn't get what they could have gotten for Familia, who's a plus arm and close games, and you know he's a little up, he could be a little jittery, but still, it was just really about that international money, that $1 million. I mean, once the third baseman turns it around, it was a fourth round pick, but I mean, it doesn't really look like they got much of anything back. You know, I'm sure they'll trade Ozdrubal Cabrera. I've kept thinking that the Red Sox will be interested in him. Maybe the Brewers could have some interest as well. So those could be a couple of spots for him. There just aren't many players on the Mets that have played up to par this year. Flores being one of them, because Wilmer Flores always plays up to par with all the walk-off hits, 31 RBIs in his role, where he hits lefties. There's just so many underperformers. And now, hearing that maybe Mesoraco, the catcher they got for Harvey, could be on the block, they might want to trade him. So who's going to be their catcher? You know, this team is really, it's really hard to believe that Jose Reyes plays almost every game. I mean, he actually knocked out a run. His eighth run of the year. He hits sitting 179. It's pretty sad for Jose Reyes. But I think Rosario should be sent down. I mean, but they're not going to do that. They'll probably just keep him up because they don't have any other options. I mean, it's pretty obvious that at times he's just overmatched. I understand that he's had some extra base hits recently, but his defense is not all that great either. And his defense is supposed to be, he's 22 years old though. So, you know, maybe they should send him back to AAA for a month and then bring him back up. Maybe that would make more sense, but you know, that's why the Mets are the Mets. And so they lose to the Padres, who are a rebuilding team with some nice young players, including that Phil Nuevo guy, who's for a lot of power at third. I don't know why they signed Hosmer. Myers is a good player, and that was part of that three-team deal that involved Trey Turner and also involved free-swinging outfielder. Now it's just a bench player. Actually, I think he might be on the Padres, but and that happens sometimes when you're a free swinger, you don't wind up being as good as, you know, because free swingers have shelf lives too. That's why when you look at Joey Gallo and you see he's got the 25 home runs for Texas, you know, but what about his batting average? There's a lot of questions there to speak of. The Cubs, a fun note here on the Cubs. They, in a game that they lost 7-1, Well, Madden had nobody else. I call him Madman, or Madman, because he is. Decided he had nobody else to throw to get the final out of the ninth inning. So what does he do? He takes the popular Anthony Rizzo, who is he's probably the most likable guy on the Cubs, and I would say close second would be Chris Bryant, just in terms of the attitude. But he takes Rizzo and says, you know what? You take the pitching glove, gives him a pitching glove, and lets him actually fulfill a dream, kid dream, and actually throw to a batter in a major league game. And yes, he recorded the out with his off speed stuff, with his 65-mile-an-hour stuff, getting the fly out. And the Cubs fans obviously enjoyed that. He only threw two pitches, so as long as it's not a risk, I don't see any issue with that. I know some of the purists might be like, well, why would you risk that? But he threw him out there. Yeah, just throw a couple of pitches, see if you can get me an out. And he got the out. They lose the game 7-1, and Goldschmidt taking Lucas Farrell deep, his 22nd. He's got his home run stroke back, and he's been really swinging a good bat. And Patrick Corbin, one of the more underappreciated pitchers in the game, with his 7th win and 9 strikeouts in 7 innings, giving up a run. Backs able to improve to 55-46, so they don't lose any more ground to the Dodgers. The Red Sox, of course, were winners. They beat everybody pretty much. There's not even a point. So Braves are 54-43, so they're still in first by, I think it's a half game. It's either a half game or it's a full game, actually, on the Phillies. So, let's see, beat up on the Marlins tonight, 12-1. Culberson with 4 hit. Well, Charlie Culberson with the 4 hit game and 3 RBIs. And Freddie Freeman goes yard. And yeah, that Nick Markakis reaching base a couple more times. Camargo, 2-4 with 2 runs knocked in. Yeah, not go too badly at third base. So the Braves might still be looking for a third base pickup. Moustakas is available. Obviously, the Royals want to move him. He can play both first and third, so he could be available. So just throwing a couple of things out there. And the Pirates win again. I mean, 10 in a row. They're a weird team. I mean, they started out good. Started out very good. They were like 7-8 games over 500 in first place in the NL Central. And then they went ice cold for about 2 months and couldn't do anything. And looked like they were just going to be miserable. And now they've won 10 in a row, including sweeping the Brewers, who not only look to be coming out of it, but they beat up on Cooper. And they're playing good baseball. You have to give Clint Hurdle a lot of credit. They're 52-49. So the Pirates with a win. And cool off some of those Indian bats. Cooper only gave up 3 earned in the 4 innings, but the Pirates, Marte's having a pretty good year for them. 51 RBIs, Harrison off a home run. Dickerson has hit very well for them. I didn't understand why the Rays just threw him away. Dickerson's a nice player. I mean, he's not great against lefties, but he's hitting over 300 this year. I mean, they did get C.J. Cruel, who has the 17 or 18 home runs. But, I mean, similar, I guess. You know, one guy's going to hit for a much lower average, for a little more power. But, you know, not much difference there. So, full story. And I see the Angels are down 5-3 to the lowly White Sox. So, but that's your baseball story. In thinking about this whole thing with the daily news, to wrap up the show, yeah, this once was a paper that was pretty respected. I mean, I loved reading the Sunday paper in the old days when I was growing up. I delivered papers as a kid in high school. So I used to deliver the local Staten Island Advance, which is the best paper to read now. The local paper, and they cover real stories. No, I'm not saying they cover everything well, but it's just better to read than anything else. But the fact that the Daily News cut down their staff, their sports staff, from 35 to 9, with only 5 writers left, is just embarrassing. It's appalling. I mean, how can they do that? How do you do that with a straight face? I mean, really? Who are you going to get to write about Gary Sanchez, the old fart that never leaves, that old bag, Lupica, who just sits there and writes the same slanted column along with the politics? I mean, it's just disgusting. It's a disgrace. It really is a disgrace. So, he and Reisman have jobs for life. But, they got rid of it. They get rid of everybody else. They get rid of the real workers, the real people that cover stories. Even though at times he could be a little bit annoying and agitating, but yeah, get rid of everybody else, right? Get rid of your Yankees beat writer. Get rid of John Harper, who was a perfect replacement for Bill Madden because he knew how to cover baseball. Get rid of them all. Get rid of everybody. So, and I just don't get it. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense at all. And so it's just disappointing. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And a lot of things don't make a lot of sense. But they're not even a newspaper now. And they may as well just put the for sale sign up or just close up tent. Because it's not a paper. There's no reason to buy it, and they want people to subscribe. I mean, it's just embarrassing what they did, and they took a lot of heat today, and as well that they should. And it's sad, actually, too. There are people that work hard and are good reporters who like to cover stories and do the job right. So it's very, very bad. Michael Kay had a big rant on it. Of course, he was a former Daily News writer before he went on to bigger bad things with the Yankees. First with WABC teaming up with John Sterling, legendary John Sterling, and then eventually moving to the TV side of things with the YES Network. So, and there is just so much to say. All these layoffs. And this is something that, and even the New York Post said something. Layoffs at the Daily News mark a grim day for New York City. Today's mass layoffs at the New York Daily News are bad news for New York. This town needs more good reporters, not fewer. Yes, and there was no Daily News reporter to cover the Yankees and Rays, obviously, because they have nobody left. So it really is astonishing that this is what it's come down to. There's really not much left on the show. So, yes, the Post and News were competitors, and the Post is more, more to the right. News is obviously means very high. They've been so far left. They've become so far left that I basically stopped reading them. I wish they were just papers that were more down the middle. And just let people decide instead of telling the reader what they want to hear. That's what I wish it was. But I think it's pretty sad, obviously. It's a sad day. And the Grim Reaper's still there. So, that's going to do it for the show. Not really going to. There's no reason to do any overtime. I ranted on the Yankees. I said my piece on Gary Sanchez. And I said it all. So tune into our podcast, and just want to thank anybody that actually tuned in. Check out every one of our shows, the Hard Hits Network of Block Talk Radio. That would be www.blocktalkradio.com/hardhits21. That is our site, and you could check out any of the podcasts that I do. This was a solo job, and I didn't need anybody else. This was perfect for me to do. I was angry. I was aggravated, agitated. I expressed my frustration. and it works. It worked out well. I don't think I raised my voice too much because I'm a little more controlled than I used to be. So, but, you know, you have to wish the all those people that lost jobs, Christy Acker and well, the very best, and I'm sure they'll land on their feet at other places. But that's going to do it for this edition. Enjoy what will be a better Tuesday. So, all right, that's it for me. Good night.